We're going to start a new series today. I'm very excited to share a message on the inner man and outward man. And I want to challenge you today to learn. And I want to teach it very slowly and gently in a way that I can prove to you by the scripture the way I see who we are. I see it's really important for us to see who we are as a born-again believer, and I see so much confusion in the body of Christ by the way we look at ourselves. And because of the confusion, it's allowed wrong thinking, wrong ideas. It puts people on a path that they never get out of. And we want to see victory in our life and the promises of God come to pass. And so I'm going to teach this, and I hope to prove to you a way to see yourself with the inner man and outward man. There's two versions, two models that the scripture lays out about who we are. And the first model is the one that most people are common with. In fact, it's so common, it's in our almost in our DNA of how we look at ourselves and look at scripture, interpret scripture. And I hope to chisel away at that a little bit today. I don't know why God's trusting me with this revelation, but I found that it is causing me to see the church differently, to understand scripture so much better. So the most common way we understand scripture or who we are is out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from this model, that's where most people interpret the scripture with and how they see themselves. That I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. The body is like a glove that sits upon the inner man. And that's how most people interpret scripture and see themselves. My role in this series, and I want to take my time, so forgive me for being repetitive or teaching slowly, but once this foundation gets into you, if I can prove it to you from the scripture, it will open your eyes to see where your fight comes from, to see that you're not a mess, you are a child of God. And to see where spiritual growth is, why spiritual growth is so important. So that's the first model. I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, most people interpret things like that, and it's okay. I'm not trying to say they're wrong or it's wrong. I'm just saying there's maybe a better way, a better model to look at ourselves. And we're going to go through that, to start with that today. The second model that I've learned is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." And I want you to see here, there's a picture, a model of how to look at ourselves, an inward man and an outward man. So it's two parts, an inward man and an outward man, where the other model is I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, I want to just again confirm that I don't disagree with the model of body, soul, and spirit, but I believe it adds to confusion. And so when someone uses that model to interpret scripture and to look at who we are, we're really talking about the same thing for most part. Most part, people, especially in the charismatic movement, they use language where they describe a battle between their spirit and their soul. Their image is, I have a spirit, meaning their spiritual being. If you try to research how people look at that, it's kind of comical. Some people draw circles, and the middle circle is your spirit, and other people draw little sticks, and this, it's a glowing part of me in my inner man, or down in my belly, and their battle is their soul, because their job is to fix their soul. their body is the glove. It's simply the fingers and toes, and it's like a glove I wear over my inner man. And my real transformation is in the soul. So, but when you hear them talk, we're all talking the same thing. There is a fight of the a battle between the spirit man and what they would say is the soul. Today I was in the spirit. That's of the spirit and that's of the soul. I'm talking out of my soul. I'm making decisions out of my soul. But a better way, I believe, to see who we are, and it'll help you understand your battle so much more, is you have an inner man and an outward man. We will get into it during the series. I'm trying to fight myself not to try to answer it all in one session. So you'll have to be patient with me, but trust me. Well, don't trust me. Learn from me that in the end, when you see yourself from the model of the inner man and outer man, it explains not just yourself so much better. It also explains and helps you interpret Scripture way better. And much of the Scripture will come to life as you put the Scripture through the model of the inner man and outer man versus the model of spirit, soul, and body. So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians, and let's look a little more at this picture. The picture is verse 23, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. From this verse, I have some questions that don't fit into typical Christianity. If I take it at face value, what these two verses mean, and if I use these verses for me today, for Alan today, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, Alan, completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you, Alan, is faithful, who will also do it. Well, just from those two verses, it implies if I were to take that verse and put it on me today. And remember, Paul wrote this. He wrote both models. He wrote the inner man and outward model to the Corinthian church. And here he mentions this model to the Thessalonians. I could say, oh, well, praise God. Look, God himself is going to sanctify me completely. That is his responsibility. He who is faithful will do it, Alan. So then I'm not responsible to sanctify myself, to choose holiness. If God, if you want me to quit smoking and drinking and fornicating, then take all the desires away. Sanctify me completely. And so just in some of these verses, I'd like for you to take a good look at these two verses and find out that if we try to place that model, that I'll be whole, spirit, soul, and body, and that applies to me today, then there's some complications just in these two scriptures. Number one, in these two scriptures, it shares that God himself will be responsible to complete this job of us being sanctified. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. That means it's God's job. The other question I have here is, you'll hear it said, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And so when you ask people to describe how God speaks to them, they say, well, deep down in my spirit, somewhere down my belly area, the Lord speaks to me. The body is a glove that I wear. But if you see here, it doesn't say that you are a spirit. I want you to see that you are more than a spirit. You're not a spirit, not in this sense. Because it says in the wording, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit. So your means you have a spirit, not you the spirit. If I am this spirit here, then it would say and may you, the spirit, and your soul and your body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't say that. It says that your spirit, so it implies you have a spirit. So that word spirit doesn't mean you. And I'm trying to nitpick a little bit because I want you to begin to maybe question that model. Because this model is not for you and I today. This model is about us. It's about you, but not today, not in your current situation. This model is about you in the end when our toes are on the new earth and we're in the new universe. That's the model that he's talking about. That's when that model will fit you, where God will be responsible to give you a full sanctification completely, where you are completely righteous, both spirit or all spirit, your soul, and your body will be completely righteous. But that's not the model for us today. And let me just prove that to you. Let's go over to chapter 4. And I'll start here in verse 13. And we'll read a little bit and find the context of what Paul wrote here in chapter 5, verse 23. So now I'm in chapter 4, verse 13. "Now I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another in these words." So let's get context of what he's talking about. The context in these chapters are about the end times. That in the end of everything, when we're on the earth and the Lord comes back, if the Lord tarries and we're on the earth, we will meet those who are already asleep in heaven. We'll meet them in the air. And in that moment, we find from other chapters, other books, that we receive a new body, a brand new body, an eternal body that's righteous. And if I'm on this earth in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, I'll receive that new outward body. This outward body that I'm wearing will be replaced with a new outward body. Now, that is the end of my time on this earth in this dispensation. Let's keep reading chapter 5. "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself know perfectly the day of the Lord, so comes as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are the sons of light and the sons of the day. You are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourself. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, Uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, in context, what is he talking about? He's talking about the transformation, the instant receiving a new outward body, a new outward man that'll be turned from darkness to righteousness. If you're on this earth, if you're listening to me today and watching me today, you're wearing an outward body of this earth. Okay? In context here, he's taking them, encouraging them that, look, it's not over when you die. Those who've gone to sleep, they're waiting for us. And when the trumpet sounds, we'll meet them in the air and we will receive together a new eternal body. So be encouraged that all that you're going through is important. And in keeping the standard high is important. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself. Now here's our verse. In context, we're seeing he's talking about at the very end of time, when we're on the new earth, in the new heaven, the new universe, we will also be quickened and have a new outward body. That means that instantly we'll be whole, light, completely light. There's no darkness in us at all. If you're born again, he calls you a son or a daughter of light. And so where is the darkness that you fight with? Well, it's in your outward man. You're going to learn that as we do the series. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you as faithful will also do it. So he's going to do it. What's he saying? That believers, I promise you that your struggle to become holy, your walk into holiness, into righteousness, is worth it. And in the end, there'll be no more fight because God will make sure that you are completely spirit, soul, and body, righteous and light and completely sanctified. And once that happens, there'll be no more for the rest of eternity, no more struggles, no more strife, no more sorrow, sadness, envy, jealousy. And that's the promise. So this picture of spirit, soul, and body, I remember one time we had some preachers over at the Bible College when I was a young leader at the Bible College, and they were discussing the spirit. And at the time, I had no idea what they were talking about because our theology didn't have anything to do with anything technical as much as do good, live holy, make good choices, and serve God, be busy for God. That was our gospel. And if you wanted to be blessed, give money. Well, they were discussing the spirit, and it was a discussion they were having with others. It was at the time way over my head. That's why it's important we educate ourselves so you can learn. Well, they were saying the discussion was, well, is the spirit complete when we're saved, or is it not complete? And they had decided it was complete. So when they read this verse, this model, they were saying, my spirit is complete, and all I have to do is make my soul accept who I already am. Another time I got the privilege to pick up Dad Hagen and Mom Hagen, Kenneth Hagen and Aretha, and drive them from the airport to the church building into a house because they were attending. I think Dad Hagen was Norval Hayes' best man at his wedding to Maggie. And I got blessed because when we got to the house before they went to the church, Mom Hagen went upstairs to get ready with Maggie. And so I was stuck there, or Dad Hagen was stuck there with me for 30 minutes. I was trying to be polite, but time was getting kind of boring. He wasn't much of a talker to me at the time, and he was happy being quiet, but I wasn't. So I just asked him a generic question. What are you focusing on? What is the Lord telling you? What are you focusing on? Kind of thing. Kind of a silly question, but I was wanting to, you know, get something out of him so I could brag to other people that I talked to Dad Hagen. And I remember he said, well, I've been focusing on at the school teaching about the development of the spirit man. And again, it was way over my head. I had no idea what he's talking about. But now as I go further into God and learn more, I'm seeing those are really good questions. We're going to talk about some of the questions in this series. The goal today is to jostle you a little bit and to make you begin to question if the model of spirit, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, is a complete picture, if it is the picture we are to interpret who we are from the scripture at this time or not. And hopefully I'll be able to prove to you that a better model is for us today is I have an inner man and an outward man, and it will answer many, many questions for you. It all started when the Lord spoke to me in a vision. And visions are important. Teaching visions are important. But they're not as important as the scripture. So whenever you get a teaching vision, you're not supposed to teach from that vision. You're supposed to use that vision, that picture, to help you to understand the truth of the scripture better. So in this vision, I've had to compile hundreds of scriptures to understand it. And basically, what the Lord told me out of Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the Lord said, the way that a preacher understands this verse will determine how much of truth they will ever attain to. And the key word here is transformation. That to be transformed, the way I see myself will come from the way I see this verse. To be transformed, and I heard a lot of preachers say, well, we're already transformed the moment we're born again. And see, their picture is, I have a spirit that's already complete. God gave it everything. And all I have to do is change the way I think. I need to accept who I already am. I need to identify with who I already am. I need to change my thinking to think like who I already am. And so they don't see the importance of development of the spirit man or spiritual growth because they believe I'm already transformed, is complete when I'm saved. But then why would he tell us to be transformed if it's already done? And so transformation, the word transformation comes from the word we understand metamorphoso, something like that in the Greek. And that's where we get our caterpillar to butterfly understanding in the natural. A caterpillar goes into cocoon, and then after a little while in the cocoon, it emerges with wings. It's been transformed, metamorphosed into a different creature. Now it can fly. Before it was transformed, it couldn't fly. Now it can without effort, because it's who it is. So that's what that word transformation means. And it's good to know because there's a command here by Paul. Again, this is to the Romans. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed, molded into the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And as I speak these verses, it's important that you don't just skip over and go, oh, I know that verse. I know what that means. I want to challenge you, have you challenge yourself in the way you understand some of these verses. be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the vision was, we're in a church service, and there was a young lady giving a testimony about how glad she was to be free from drugs and to be back to serving God. And I knew this lady. We had worked with her for many years. She was a typical drug addict who would have a great month of living right in church and then would stumble and have a year of living on the lam, you know, in the drugs. And then we'd get her back, and she'd come back, climbing back, and repent. And then she would repeat that cycle year after year. And so there I had a little bit of suspicion, like, well, I'm really proud of you. I'm really pleased that you had a good week and you're in church. But I'm a little suspicious that this won't stick, that you won't let it stick. I'm hoping you do, but I'm still a little suspicious. And I had a right to be suspicious because we've been around the mountain a number of times with her personally. And here she was in church, and she looked very pretty. She dressed nice. She had her makeup on, her hair done. She looked clean. Her eyes looked good and clear. And the Lord spoke to me while she was testifying. And he said, in this vision, I didn't ask for this vision. It just dropped in my inner man. And I saw two people, the same people. And it was an inner man and an outward man. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I did not tell my church to conform into Christianity. I told them to transform. And in that moment, I seen her was like a little circle, leap out of the one body and leap into the other body. And that was his definition for me to understand transformation, that it wasn't conforming into Christianity. And see, that vision has challenged me to re-see the way I see my own Christianity, the way I grow in God, the way I'm faithful to God. It's helped me to re-see the understanding of the scripture. It was a picture of the inner man and outward man. And the transformation was a person leaping out of the outward man and beginning to live out of their inner man, which is different than the body, soul, and spirit model. The body, soul, and spirit model is I need to retrain my soul, my mind, will, and emotions to think like God, to speak like God, to feel like God. And that my spirit is the part of me that's been born again. My body is my glove, my fingers, and my toes. And it doesn't match so many scriptures. Again, when you hear charismatic or faith people talk about the spirit, soul, and body, what they're describing is correct in the fight, but the model doesn't fit. And I want to prove that to you. And I want to take my time in this series to hopefully answer many questions. So the Lord spoke to me, I did not tell my church to conform. I did not tell my church to become like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to dress like Jesus. And that's what I see in many of the modern churches, is they teach you how you should act. The holiness churches especially, they'll tell you how to act holy. If you're a good Christian, you will love your neighbor. You will live holy. You won't smoke. You won't drink. And so many of them have learned how to act like a Christian. They conform themselves, their life, to reflect what Christ would look like and act like, but really they're just acting. They're being what they think they should be, but really if you took off at nighttime when they're alone, their thoughts, their emotions, their personality has many struggles that aren't like Christ. And they teach you how to love in the name of Jesus. And it's a different path. I'll tell you my favorite story on that. When I was had a neighbor crash into my car and we had to get it repaired, our van. We got a rental car for a month. And I went down and paid for it. And he said, I need a credit card. I said, well, the insurance is going to pay for the rental car. And he said, yeah, it's just formality. There'll be no charges on it. It's just a formality. I said, wait, you promised me there'll be no charges on this credit card. I promise you, it's just a formality. So I paid for it. I gave it to him, and he put it in the computer. Well, after we got our car back and returned the rental car, a few weeks later, a bill for $300 jumped onto our credit card from the rental car. And so I drove down to that company, drove down there, and there was some people in his office, and I barged in. I said, hey, I got a problem, and you're going to fix it. And he said, okay, sir, just give me a minute. These other customers are first. I said, no, they can wait. There is a charge on my credit card for $300, and you're going to remove it right now. He said, oh. So he put the other people aside and said, sir, let me see. He goes, oh, that's not me. That was the company. That was the agency. You need to contact them. And I said, no, sir. He said, you're the one who promised me there'd be no charge on my card. And so you're going to fix this right now. You are going to fix it right now. Are you a liar? You're a liar. You lied to me then. You are a liar. You know, I even embarrassed him in front of all the other clients, and I made a fool of myself. And so he's like, okay. Eventually, I badgered him until he fixed it, and I left there without the $300 charge. Well, that day I learned that the love of Alan stops at $299. If it's under $300, I'll love you and be nice to you and gentle with you. But once you hit $300, because back then, especially back then, it was world-changing, $300 extra bill. I acted like a complete jerk, an idiot, not in love in how I handled it. I would still go back today and get my $300 back, but I would have done it in a humble way, in a mature way, in a loving way to represent Christ. But unfortunately, the love of Alan stopped at $299. And so much of what we hear in the modern church about you need to love your neighbor, the wording should be you need to love your neighbor with your love in the name of Jesus. And that's what we do. We turn our focus on conforming into Christianity. What would Jesus do? How should I act? And we begin to make choices to act a certain way because we want to conform into Christianity. But that's not the word here. The word is transform. Transformed means that I become a different creature. I begin to become that creature. And a creature who is love has no choice but to love. It's not a choice. It's who you are. And that's what God was telling me in that vision, was the church is being taught how to conform and be told how they should act and what they should do. And they're doing it in conformity, rather than transformation, becoming that being, becoming that love, becoming that holiness, where it's who you are because it's who you are. You're not trying to be something. You are that person. And the love of God that he tells us to love our neighbor in, the word is agape love. That is God's love that comes from God's heart. God himself would love that person this way. You can develop that love. And that's why it's so important to see the picture of inner man and outward man, is because you don't have that love in completion when you're born again. You have it as a seed. It must develop and grow. And we're going to get more into that as the series goes on. The first thing today is to get you to question the model of I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. When you say you are a spirit, what does that mean to you? When you say you have a soul, what does that mean to you? You have a body, what does it mean to you? When you try to get people to describe, okay, so you are a spirit, what does that mean to you? Because right here, I can show you four parts here, not three. I'm back over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Look, there's at least four parts in here describing you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. You can circle that. That's one part. Sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, so spirit is another part, soul, that's another part, and body, that's a fourth part. So right there, there's four parts. And I want you to begin to see you're more than just three parts. When you're complete, when the trumpet sounds and everything is complete, we will be completely whole. Now, before you were saved, you were completely dark. You were whole, completely whole in darkness. Spirit here means nature, not anything else. It means your new, your nature, your old nature, your new nature. So your spirit, your nature was completely dark because you were not saved. And your soul, mind, will, and emotions was completely dark. And your body, your inner man and outward body, was completely dark because you were not saved. But when you became born again, your inner man was saved, but your outer man was left in darkness. We'll get into all that. But your inner man was born of God, completely righteous, completely light, but immature, having to grow and develop. Your outward man, body, the outward soul part of you, was left in darkness. So now you aren't whole. You're incomplete. And that's what Paul is saying, that we're in a struggle because in our salvation, it only began when you got born again. Salvation isn't complete when you're saved. When you ask Jesus into your heart, that's the beginning of your journey. And salvation technically is not complete until we are on the new earth with the new heaven in our new bodies. And we are complete again, whole, body, soul, and spirit. Our body, soul, and spirit will be completely righteous. See, right now you're not complete. Right now, your inner man is completely light, but your outward man is still left in darkness. So you're not complete. You're torn. That's why there's a fight. Why do you want to be unholy? What is it? You said, God, I never want to do that again. But why are you trying to do it again? I'll never act that immature again, God. I'll never be that rude to anyone again as I was with the $200 or $300 bill. I'm embarrassed. I'll never do it again. But yet I end up doing it again years later. Why? Well, I thought I decided not to do that. Where is that struggle coming from that resists you into prayer, resists you into holiness? Where are those struggles coming from? You're going to learn all of that in this series about the inner man and outer man model versus the body, soul, and spirit model. And I want to prove to you, and hopefully you'll learn, that when you see yourself according to 2 Corinthians 4, I have an inner man and an outward man, then you'll begin to understand so many more verses. You'll be at peace with your battles. You'll quit feeling like you're a failure, and you'll start to feel victorious. You won't feel like a loser because you're struggling. God is the father to your inner man. He's not the father to your outward man. Before you were saved, you were completely in darkness. At the end of the earth, when the trumpet sounds, and at the very end of it all, you'll be completely righteous. There'll be nothing of darkness left in you. There'll be nothing of Adam left in you. It's the miracle of miracles. Salvation is the way that God had to establish our salvation was more complicated than creating all the universe and all the earth and all the animals and everything in it. It's an amazing feat that God was able to legally make it possible for us to be born into one species, a species of darkness, the family of Adam, and to be born out of that species and born into another species called the children of God, with Jesus being our Adam. And in the end, his promise is that when it's all done, his promise is that he himself will make sure that you will be in eternity completely a child of God, with no darkness left, no hint of Adam left. You'll be born completely out of the family of Adam into the family of God through Jesus Christ. It's the miracle of salvation. So I hope you allow me to keep teaching this and stick with me. I'm going to teach it very slow, and you'll just have to accept that. I like to cram it all in and get excited, but I need to go slow. And as you begin to see it, you'll find that many verses will begin to make sense to you that didn't quite make sense. And it only didn't make sense because you're using the wrong model to try to cram that verse into. The better way to see ourselves is I have an inner man and an outward man. And it's much more complete than I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And we'll get more into that as we keep going. I appreciate you staying with me, learning from me. I don't know why God trusted me with this revelation, but it's been life-changing for me, and I trust it'll be the same for you. God bless you, and I'll see you again soon.